And welcome to the Pastor's Cut podcast for the week.
Great job.
Not starting off good.
I'll splice it.
April 28th, 2024. We're in our loneliness series, but we usually banter. Today we're not going to banter. We're going to interrogate.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Round two.
So Super Dave is here. He missed last week, but he's here. But yesterday, for his PhD, he did his comprehensive exams at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. Dave, how'd it go?
I survived. I'm still standing. I'm still alive. And I was told at the end that there were three possible outcomes. They drew it out to the end, and they told me you could either... Door one, two, and three. Door one, you failed so miserably that you will never get to retake it again, and you're just done with the program. Door number two, you failed so miserably that we feel sympathy for you, and you can retake it. Or door number three, you passed. And then after a long, bated pause, he told me, congratulations, you passed.
Very good. Yay.
So I am officially PhD ABD.
All right. So can we officially use your title? Do you upgrade from Super Dave to Dr. Dave?
Not quite yet.
I think I have to have my dissertation to officially be Dr. Dave.
Yeah. So have you started the dissertation yet?
I have a whole whopping two paragraphs written for my dissertation. Paragraphs.
So does the doctor go in front of Super or after Super?
You'll have to ask the inventor of Super to find that one.
Let's do both. Let's do Dr. Super Dr. Dave.
It rolls. It's more fun to say Super Dr. Dave.
Super Dr. Dave.
Super Dr.
Doctor, Dr. Super Dave. Super Dr. Dave.
Super Dr. Dave.
How about Dr. Super Doctor Dave?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, that's it. Let's do the double doctor. Double down on the double doctor.
Nice. Congratulations, Dave. That's really cool.
It's all good. And Brad, what have you done with your life lately?
You know, just a lot of fly fishing and kind of taking naps in the hammock.
That's really kind of nice, isn't it?
Not really.
I am going to, because we cut this out of the podcast last week because it was a failed illustration.
Yeah, I did splice that out.
Okay, so actually the week of this recording, you're getting ready to celebrate the bicentennial of Fort Gibson.
200 years old, that's right.
Yeah, and you've written a musical there too.
Well, I had a hand in writing a musical, and I did a lot of the work, but there's other people. Yes, we have written a musical for Fort Gibson called Vivia, and it debuts this week, Thursday the 18th, and Saturday and Sunday the 20th and 21st. Never before heard. We did have rehearsal last night, and the orchestrations, I must say, were
better than
I had imagined them to be. It really worked out quite nicely. It also helps to have really good players. So
we've got a Dr. Dave. We've got Bicentennial Brad. Marissa.
Alliteration thing.
What have we done with our lives?
Magnificent Marissa.
Magnificent Marissa. I retrimmed the upstairs.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, I did new baseboards.
Yeah. We had,
not everyone can do that.
Yeah, we had four different birthday parties this last weekend, and everybody went. And
okay,
you survived.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah, it's like a very Voltaire with my life goals. I'm just cultivating my own garden over here. We're good. Just
did, yeah. Very what? What's that word?
Voltaire.
I don't know that word. Literally, every podcast, I have to look up the word Mercy.
It's actually a name. You want to explain?
Yeah, he's a French philosopher and playwright, Voltaire. You're fine. Remember what you were telling us earlier about learning things? It's like, oh, this applies never. That's one of them.
Yes.
Brad's going, Voltaire? Yeah. Is that a 60 Voltaire?
Well, it stuck about as well as we were
Wasn't
talking before
yeah.
about a guy named Chakra.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about.
Chakra Khan?
No, that's a thing called Shankarian music theory.
Shankarian music theory.
It's not for the faint of heart.
Marissa got it.
No,
I'm giving all these little zingers here. Nobody's paying attention to me.
I got you.
So I got you.
Isn't Voltaire like one of those? Wasn't that like a booth that Tom Hanks went into and? It was like a gypsy thing, and he came out.
Yeah, it's just the movie Big. But I don't know if it's Voltaire.
Yeah. Zoltar,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, sorry, you're speaking of Voltron, the anime from the 80s?
Okay. No, I'm on the Ultron with the Marvel.
You said there was not going to be any banter, and we've
we've gone off the deep end. Let's get into it, all right, because we've lost. You know, one of my favorite podcasts, we need to find out how many listeners we have, because one of my favorite podcasts just hit a million.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of hoping we're up there.
Yeah, we're getting close.
I mean, if we're in the three digits, I'm really happy.
It's kind of like my first album went aluminum. You
know? Nice.
I sold 14 just like that, and then it tapered off, you know?
Sweet.
Yeah.
So here we are on loneliness.
Segway.
I tell you what, there's no way. I mean, how do you go from this happy-go-lucky conversation we're having to the deep, dark despair? I did get a nice email this morning from a friend in my church. He has a great sense of humor. My friend Zach said, if you're lonely, and it's just a little meme that goes around, leave a cup of coffee on top of your car while you're driving on the road, and everyone will wave at you. So it's pretty funny. There's a little picture that accompanies it. We may show it on Sunday morning. It's kind of cute as can be. But we're looking at different kinds of loneliness. We've already dealt with, the loneliness, the isolation that results from sin. That was St. Peter. We just kind of moved into that in Easter. And then who'd we talk about next? I'm completely blanking out. We've talked about the loneliness of leadership.
King David.
King David.
Mm-hmm. Yes. We talked about Hagar.
Hagar,
that's right. And the loneliness that often comes from other people and our bad decisions. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to move into, this has actually kind of been a light bulb moment for me. We're going to choose John the Baptist, and he's not a figure that you normally think of as lonely. He did dwell in a desert by himself, but he was the one who pointed that this is the Christ. This is the one. This is the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. But the scene we're going to look at today for the Pastor's Cut and for our community groups is that one of those final scenes before he is put to death in a tragic, juvenile way. Mm-hmm. He's in prison by himself, and he begins to doubt reality. He begins to doubt who Christ is. And, Marissa, I want to ask you to read this, and there's a lot in this passage that we probably won't cover today. It'll be the first 19 verses of Matthew 11. But we all saw this, that during the pandemic, conspiracy theories skyrocketed. Mm-hmm. People were at home by themselves. They were surfing on the web. They were getting inside their own heads. And so many conspiracy theories that, you know, before would never have been given the light of day now become mainstream because so many people are buying into them. And I think that's something loneliness does, is it skews our view of reality. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, with that context, Marissa, why don't you read? I don't know if you want to read all 19 verses, but you know, why not?
Okay, let's
why
do
not?
That. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you're willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, 'We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Here's a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by her deeds."
So let's deal with this. How does a person get from 1 minute, and actually not 1 minute, because now several months have passed. 1 minute you're saying, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world with absolute conviction. Mm-hmm. And then you get to a place where later you go, are you the one that's to come, or should we expect someone else? How does one get to that place of losing perspective?
I think part of it has to do with expectations. There's so much in antiquity that was built around expectations of what the Messiah would do, how the Messiah would come in and either become the literal king of Israel and kick out the nation of Israel, or do something from a priestly perspective to alter the way the Israelite community was worshiping Yahweh and rally them together and unify them, neither of those things happened. And so there was some sense of expectations that didn't match the reality of what Jesus was doing. While Jesus was doing those things, he was doing it in a different way than what John the Baptist had expected. And so anytime our expectations don't match up to whatever reality is, that gap that's there creates some breeding ground, really, mm-hmm. for distortion, for loneliness, for isolation, for the sense of feeling like I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, Dave, because sometimes when I'm in conversations with people and they're disappointed with God, it's not that God has disappointed them based on biblical expectations, mm-hmm. but on their personal expectations. And you know, God didn't give me my job back, or he didn't heal this person. And, you know, God doesn't promise that everything's going to work out just the way we want to. Mm-hmm. And that failure of expectation can lead to some disillusionment. Mm-hmm. Marissa, what do you think?
Yeah, when, you know, John may have been in that prison for up to a year in this point, and he knew his execution was ahead of him. He didn't know how, and like you said, a very juvenile, sad way for him to be executed. But just that despondency and that time to worry without other believers and his disciples speaking the truth to him,
yep.
just wondering, was anything I did worthwhile? If this was the deliverer of Israel, why doesn't he deliver me? You know, he had this time to overthink and mull over every minute detail of his life. So even though he was born, you know, to be the herald of the Messiah, you know, he was born under these divine circumstances, even he doubted. It's a little bit of a comfort to know that that even John the Baptist doubted. And the Gospel of John, like you alluded, I mean, it begins with his bold declaration of who Jesus was as the Messiah. He knew exactly who Jesus was. And not only did he know who Jesus was, but he had the theological background and understanding of God's plan to be able to call him the Lamb of God, you know, evoking Exodus and Isaiah. And he called him, you know, he is offering himself for the sin of the world. He knew exactly what the plan of God was, what this ark was, and he understood his role in that, his role in the gospel story and the narrative. And then God gave him, you know, this visible vision of the dove descending. So yeah. Intellectually he knew, and then God confirmed to him that clarity as well. I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and remained on Jesus. He knew exactly. And he was, you know, Elijah. So in Malachi, it says that this Elijah was a reconciler, that he brought the hearts of fathers and children together. So where other prophets, you know, would go into the wilderness and kind of be a solitary weirdo, John brought other people into the wilderness with him. He was a reconciler. His whole point...
It's okay to be a weirdo, just not a solitary weirdo.
No, sometimes solitary weirdos are great, okay. But that wasn't John's calling. So, you know, he understood that Abrahamic covenant enough that he knew that his blessing was meant to bless others. So his righteousness was meant to make other people righteous. And he had a right understanding of who he was as a shepherd to take these men, take these disciples and prepare them for the good shepherd. So the first two disciples of Jesus were disciples of John first, who he pointed to Jesus and said, nope, that's your rabbi now, you know. So he was a man that was used to using his gifts to reconcile and to unite other people. And when he was in isolation, when he was divorced from that calling and divorced from other people, he lost his sense of identity.
Loneliness will take a toll. It will take a toll on your grasp of reality. It can also take a toll on your grasp of understanding who God truly is. Mm-hmm. And if it can happen to John the Baptist, it can happen to any of us, mm-hmm. really. Okay, so let's investigate just for a moment Jesus' response to this, because John wasn't going to get out of prison. This was not going to, at least from his physical life standpoint, was not going to end well. The message that Jesus sent back to him, what do we make of this? Of all the things Jesus could have said, why did he say, go back and report what you have seen and heard? The blind, the lame, those with leprosy, the deaf, all of these are healed. The dead are raised. The good news is proclaimed to the poor. And then he gives a beatitude. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. Mm. What do we make of this statement? They're all deferring to each other.
I know. We're trying to be so polite.
Yes.
Yeah, it's such a compassionate way of relating to John in exactly the way he needs. It reminds me of Thomas in later chapters where he has the questions, he has the doubts, and Jesus gives him exactly what he needs to strengthen him in the moment back to his faith. You know, he sent those disciples back, and I just imagine him like King David, realizing his weakness and taking strength and encouragement from the words of Jesus in his final days. So he first he reminds him exactly who he is. You know, I am still who you proclaimed. I am exactly who you believed that I was. And then he reminds John who John is in him. And it's just such a respectful, compassionate, gentle way to respond to him. There's no rebuke. There's no anger. But this is the way that that if we have people who we love, who have fallen into conspiracy or untruth, this is how we should relate to them. It's a beautiful picture of how we should relate to those we love.
Absolutely. And I'm going to do a case study. I want to save it for the message when I deliver it here in a few weeks. But I'm going to do a case study on one person who comes out of a conspiracy theory that, you know, John Kennedy Jr. was going to come back from the dead and announce himself running for president, and he was going to appear, you know, where his father was assassinated in Dallas. I don't know if y'all remember this conspiracy theory from a few years ago. And
Dave.
Dave was on the knoll.
Apparently, I was under a rock. I was unaware that this was a reality for some people.
Better, things move fast, man.
It's better to be under a rock than standing on the knoll.
That's truth.
There you go. So, I mean, this whole conspiracy theory and this person, once they were, I'm going to use the word delivered from this conspiracy theory, they said, you know, I don't know if I really believed it, but this was a group of people that gave me an identity, that gave me a cause, that they accepted me where I was. And the tragic part of this is that, you know, the entire community was based on a lie. Well, we have a community of people who believe in Christ that's based on the truth. Mm-hmm. So why would we not be drawing people into that? But sometimes when we get in isolation, we start believing things that just are not so. So Dave, what do you make of Jesus' response?
So I really think Jesus was alluding to one of the messianic prophecies from Isaiah 61 that we see him quoting directly in Luke. Here he's alluding to when he says, go and report to John that all that you see and hear, the blind have received sight, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cleansed. I know we've got trickling water somewhere.
Brad, are you
seriously? You guys heard that?
Yeah, man, yes. That was great.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. Well, that was rude.
So. No, wait just a second.
No, I don't have my coffee in the other room. I can't participate.
I wish I had coffee. Dave didn't bring coffee this morning.
I did not bring you coffee. Whatever you do,
Brad, don't cut that out of the podcast, because, I mean, we could hear the. I mean, he was chugging the water.
It was great.
It was like a whole.
Yeah.
Or snoring. Yeah.
All right.
Dave,
so,
you're in the middle of
Isaiah. Isaiah 61. He's predicting, I think he's alluding to what Isaiah wrote. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That there's, because all these things are happening, God is at work. God's Spirit is at work. You can be assured that this is exactly what was supposed to happen.
Yeah. It may not be the big political upheaval you were expecting, and that would probably be part of John's expectations, but personally things were changing. I think Jesus also makes an appeal here to, you know, it's not going to happen all at once. This thing is going to start slowly at first. And there's that famous line from a poem in a cellar in a Jewish concentration camp in Cologne. And we all know the first part of this. I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. I believe in love even when there's no one there. I believe in God even when he's silent. And that's part of what Jesus is saying to John. You know, even if you don't see it, it doesn't change the reality that I am the one you've been looking for. You know, even though you can't see the results, it doesn't change the reality that I am the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. But then the last part of that poem that many people don't know, may there someday be sunshine, may there someday be happiness, may there someday be love, may there someday be peace. Mm-hmm. And I think Jesus points to These are just the beginnings of the kingdom as it begins to come into the world. And someday things will look very different than what they are today. And by the way, 2,000 years, we're still waiting for that someday, right? God's kingdom is coming, but Jesus has not yet made all things new. Mm-hmm. And so I think we need to be thinking through our own expectations of God, our own loneliness as we wait for Jesus to make things right and to continue to see the life changes happening around us and to know that God will eventually make all things new. Mm-hmm. I do like the comment that Jesus makes. What do you go out to see in the desert? And here, instead of criticizing John and piling on to say, oh, well, you know, what a letdown. Here, you know, he proclaimed me and now he's not too clear. But I do like the images that he used. What did you go out to see? Did you go to see a reed swayed by the wind? You know, somebody who is just kind of blown back and forth by opinions and thoughts and all of this. No. And the implication is here, John was somebody who had a backbone. Okay. Mm-hmm. What did you go out to see? Did you go out to see somebody dressed in fine robes? Was it a fashion show? Was John the Baptist ever on Preachers with Sneakers? Some of our listeners may not know what that is, Marissa. Please tell us.
Go on Instagram, look it up. Preachers with Sneakers. Beautiful.
Or don't, because you may vomit in your mouth when you do so.
If you want to know who's wearing $2,000 sweaters, go there and check it out.
And Sunday, this last Sunday, I added myself because I'm wearing jeans from Walmart, you know, so, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But with Balenciaga tennis shoes, so you didn't mention that.
So, you know, so there's all these things. What did you go out to see? Did you go out to see somebody with no backbone? No, he has backbone. Did you go out for a fashion show? No, he's not about trends. He's about truth. And I think what Jesus does is he encourages John. I'm sure the disciples reported, John's disciples reported this back to him. Mm-hmm. Here's the deal. Even those who have a strong will, even those who have a clarity of purpose, sometimes can get disoriented and lost. Mm-hmm. It can happen to John the Baptist. It can happen to any of us. Thus, the importance of staying in community mm-hmm. with other Christians and communion with God himself. And sometimes we control that, and sometimes, like John, those situations are out of our control. But we come back and we hear the words of Jesus and his promises. So there's a lot more here in this passage. Several statements, as a matter of fact, that cause some confusion, or I think are just absolutely brilliant. Anything else we want to talk about for loneliness? Because I do want us to make sure we touch on that theme, we treat it well, but then not limit ourselves to that discussion mm-hmm. because the text does go into other places. So anything else about loneliness we want to talk about?
Yeah, you mentioned that loneliness kind of breeds this conspiratorial thinking, and the tragedy of it is that our great need for community that draws us towards this thinking causes more loneliness and more isolation, more disunity. You know, the devil wants to use deception and division within our families and with our churches to weaken us and weaken the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." And then Matthew 13 for believers says, you know, the seed falls among the thorn, refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. William Hendrickson puts it this way. He says, "Constant anxiety about worldly affairs fill mind and heart with dark foreboding." Mm. And I think so many of us have been, you know, we have relationships with people that we hold very dear and who we love and who nourished us and raised us, or who we raised, who now are, you know, they have a lot of misdirected anger. And from the left and the right, there's extremist factions that are trying to cause disunity amongst us. And we've been dehumanized and we've been demonized, and some of us have even been cut off. So that this kind of thinking that, you know, at first shows us community, it's twisted and perverted community that really causes disunity. And there's so many of us that are heartbroken by those relationships who've now been cut off. So the response of Jesus really shows us how to approach those we love with that same grace and compassion and respect to foster a more fertile ground where that unity can sprout again.
Yeah, it's interesting as I've, I don't know if I read it, I need to go back and look at my notes, or it was a news report, but you know, it used to be 20 years ago that parents would want to have to rescue, would want to and need to rescue their kids from a cult. So mm-hmm. there's a cult out here that was taking advantage of the kids, and the parents had to intervene to get their child out of this cult because they couldn't see the danger that they were in. Now, 20 years later, in the time that we're in now, is children often feel like they have to rescue their parents from all these conspiracy theories because they're sitting at home on the computer just watching their whole lives have become an echo chamber, and now they feel like they need to intervene on behalf of their parents because it's, you know, and it's a little disappointing. Shouldn't you know better than this? Mm-hmm. And to see conspiracy theories gone mainstream and separating relationships and just causing more isolation.
Mm-hmm. But you were saying that, you know, Jesus tells, you know, he tells about everything that John did about the reed and, you know, continue to respect and recognize their contributions to the kingdom and the contributions that they had on your life. I think we can fall into kind of a self-righteous attitude and attitude ourselves when we when we come across people who have fallen into these kind of things, like how could they be so foolish or how could they forget me? But don't forget who they are to you.
Yeah.
And as you remind them who they are, they'll remember who you are. And that remembering is so important, and that's exactly what Jesus is doing here.
And it goes back to a phrase that we often use around here, love them anyway. Even if people aren't very lovable at times, mm-hmm. love them anyway.
Yeah. It
might be important to remember that everyone in charge back in the time after Christ was resurrected probably viewed everything being said as a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way this is true. Now, I'm not defending conspiracy theories because they're some, most of them are really out there, but just to understand how radical Christianity actually was and is, I think that's not necessarily inaccurate.
Mm.
That, you know.
It did seem far-fetched, didn't it?
It was very far-fetched, yeah.
All right, any other comments here? Now that we've kind of handled the loneliness piece, there are several, I'll just call them little nuggets here and there. You know, my favorite is when Jesus gives this proverb, we played a pipe and you did not dance, we sang a dirge and you did not mourn. And he compares himself to John the Baptist, saying, you know, John the Baptist was very, very much an aesthetic, and here I am, and people say I indulge too much. It's this proverb is just wonderful about some people you're just never going to please, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And if you come, you know, fasting, and people won't like that. But if you take the opposite tack, they're not going to like that either. So don't worry about it. You know, pleasing other people, just do the next right thing. So I love that little nugget there, Dave. Anything that stands out to you from this passage?
I love that nugget. You know, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been suffering violence, and violence have been seizing it by force.
Yeah, what does that mean?
That double entendre, I really think it means that there's either a very zealous reaction towards the kingdom of God or a repellent reaction against the kingdom of God.
That's good.
The way that they're using that Greek word, it literally can mean both things at the same time. And so the playing off of that, we see what's at work going on around us. We either get excited about it and we jump on board, or we get excited about the other people that are speaking against it.
In other words, it's hard to be neutral when
yes.
it comes to
yeah, yes. yeah. You can't yeah. be passive about the gospel. You're either yeah. going to be pushed or pulled by it. Yeah.
Either for it or against it, yeah. as my friend Brad Henderson would say.
Again it.
Again it. Marissa, anything else that stands out to you here?
Oh, man, there's
did,
so much.
Did
I don't
take
know.
Your favorite ones?
No.
So keep this in mind. And I think for all of us, whenever you hear something and you get real passionate about it, I think a good practice, and of course this means that you have people in your life, if you hear something, you begin to entertain thoughts about God or reality, to have a group of people that you can trust mm-hmm. and say, here's what I'm reading, here's what I'm thinking. I'm blessed with a wife of incredible common sense, and oftentimes I'll feel very passionate about something and I'll kind of play it out for her, and she'll go, I don't know if you're quite tracking with reality on that. And, you know, she has saved me from more mistakes in ministry than any other single person. Poor Paula, please pray for her. but to have those people and to have, you know, within the church, within the community of Christ, people that we can say, you know, this might sound crazy, but here's what I'm hearing, here's what I'm thinking, and that we are vulnerable enough to share that, and we respect them enough to listen.
Yes.
And that can often save us from errors.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And that's exactly what John did. I mean, he sent his disciples to Jesus and said, look, this is the question I'm having.
Oh,
I need
good.
To get it right from the source. Mm-hmm. And that allowed him to be strengthened by the truth.
Find someone you can trust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And who better than Jesus? How about that?
Right?
Yeah. And so that would bring it to another application here of, you know, we do have direct access to Jesus. We do have direct access to God's Holy Spirit, but we still have access to His Word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so anytime you're thinking of something, you know, take it up and put it up against God's Word, the Scripture, and see how it measures out in comparison to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've talked about this before, and I've talked with other pastors that people spend hours every week on media and minutes every week in the Scripture.
Mm.
So which one is going to be a greater influence in your life? Well, it's just it's the sheer volume of what you're taking in.
Mm-hmm.
What if you were to flip that around?
Mm-hmm.
How much more clarity and calmness would we have?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Are we done?
I think we're done.
I think so.
We're at time.
I think my walk away is, Marissa, we need to go out and do something with our lives.
Right.
Brad's written a musical. Dave's getting his PhD.
We'll go find a garden to cultivate.
Go out to get, yeah. Brad, she's going to be very Voltairean.
Wow. Okay. I need to learn how to spell that.
he was French, so whenever you say his name, you always have to go, ha.
Nice.
Yes.
Is that offensive to the French people?
It probably
they
is.
Love it. They're loving it. All of our French listeners right now are just like, oh, subscribe.
All one of them or however many. I don't know.
All none of them.
The board is lighting up in here. Yes.
Yes, there it is. All right. Well, if that's it, this is the podcast for the week of May 28th.
Hey, listen, you're doing a great job.
We're getting close
job.
To May. We are getting close to May.
Start that sentence again.
Yeah. This is the podcast for April 28th. There we go. Pretty soon we'll be into May. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and grant you peace now and forever. Amen.
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 Amen. There is a bomb.